He asked me that thing. So it says in Perik, "Veshuv yom echad lifnei misoscha." Repent one day before of the last day of your life. So what did they say? Since a person doesn't know when he's going to die, so every day is a time for it to repent. But what it says over there, it says, if a person repents, the correct life is so valuable, has so much value, that if the last day of 70 years he repented, he gives back a justification for all his 70 years. It's not only that this day is good. That day gives back justification the same as because his life has led up to that day, the same as in a business. In a business, you may go on investing for years, and then one day you make your fortune. Now, is it clear? Now, what it said for the individual, the Torah tells us for the entire world. That there will be a day when the entire world will come to his senses. And it will start with the Jews. It will start with the Jewish people. Here is a Chumash, I think, yeah. In the Tzavim? Yes, right? It says in the Tzavim, it says in the Tzavim too. Yeah.
This last 80,000 years, so you can divide every parsec.
Yeah.
And we're living now on the sixth, nearly to the sixth hour of Shabbos. The year of.
Very good, very good. They say it in the name of the Goen.
In Tashnan it begins. The year Tashnan, 750. And if you divide the whole 1,000 years,
But you know that all this is in general. You cannot be punctual on this. You can make
but
the.
Do you live now in Parshat?
That's what they say. I'll tell you. There was here. You don't know Topaz. You know, is there anyone who knew Mati Topaz? Did you know him? His father is a survivor of the Warsaw Ghetto. It's Meir's father.
Yeah,
Meir, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. His father is a survivor of the Warsaw Ghetto. He was here 2 years ago when the other brother was here. And Mati was here. He was visiting. And he was talking to the Bochum here about his experiences. I have the tape. But what he said, it was so inhuman what happened, and so impossible what happened, that the only thing they could explain themselves was what is foretold in Kisovai, not in Kisovai. In Kisovai there are the curses. You know about this? That they in Chumash there is twice a covenant with the Jewish people, and the Jewish people are warned that if you misbehave, there will be curses. One is at the end of Vayikra. At that time, this was that the blessings and the curses. Were told before going into Eretz Yisrael. Now, you know that the people in the desert were about to come into Eretz Yisrael the second year, and then they remained for another 38 years? With the spies, the story with the spies? So before the story with the spies, the covenant was made for them. That's in the portion of Baruch Koisai, the end of Ayikro. And also they were told about their blessings if they'll behave, and of course if they'll not behave. Then, 38 years later, when the second generation actually came in, Moshe Rabbeinu repeated the whole thing in Parsha Kisavri. And over there, terrible things which he says. And Topa said at that time that the only thing which they could understand what's happening is by looking at that Parsha of Kisavri. That's 40 years ago. 45 years ago. Today, we have the Parsha of Netzavim. Because today, we have already that tendency of people coming back. And this tendency is in Eretz Yisrael. That tendency is in all over the world. You know what's going on in South Africa? You have so many South Africans here. You know, Samir. You know that. And I know what's happening in New York and on the West Coast in America. It seems that we are going now to that portion, which means that the world one day will turn. But the turn starts with the Jewish people. And it says here in Netzavim, what does it say? And it shall be when it will, when all those things will come upon you, the blessings and the curses, you will turn back to your heart and will you return to Hashem. You, your children, with all your heart, and Hashem will bring back your captured, will collect you from all the nations. And we see how it's happening now. Now I'll tell you my minyan is a 6:45 in the morning. So I'm a slow dresser, takes me time. So I'm getting up 6. So when I'm getting up this morning, it was dark. And in no time, it just becomes lighter, 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 lighter. I feel the same thing today. I mean, it's plenty of darkness around, but we see how we already experience how it's breaking through. Is it clear what I say? And this is the prayer of Kaddish. The prayer of Kaddish is, say, let there come a time when your name will be sanctified by anyone, will be great by anyone. And this is the prayer for the time of Mashiach. Did I answer or not?
Yeah, so then why, when somebody dies, do you say Kaddish, if that's got to do with Mashiach?
You know why people die? That's a good question, huh? And you learn, you have that Sefer, Derech Hashem, the way of God. By the Olutzatu, the Mesilas Yishon. He has that book. And he tells us, he tells us that from the time of Adam Arishon, with the Eitz HaDa'as, the human race was spoiled, can never be the ideal race unless a person dies and comes back to life as the second time of. So he says that dying is a preparation for Trias Amazing. You die in order to get up again. You don't follow this?
So why did Moshe die?
Huh?
So why did Moshe and all the great people die?
Yeah, there have been so many. From Adam Rishon, there is no human being who can live. But the purpose...
Eliyahu,
yeah.
Somebody else also.
Mr. Shelach. You have a good catch, I don't know the answer. But that's what he says. He says that we are dying in order to get up and be better people.
Who was the other person? You said Eliyahu and someone else?
Mesut Shalach.
Who was that?
Or Chanoich. Chanoich. It says in Chanoich is a generation before Noach, before the
How many hours do you study a day?
You mean me?
No.
I'm ashamed to say that many. It's not because I'm lazy, because things are keeping me busy.
Possible to have further discussion on these points sometime this week?
And what?
Well, I'd like to talk to you more about this concept of returning. Because I was speaking with Rabbi Schatz about this.
About how
after persecutions, we go through a cycle of returning to Torah learning that takes place, like 150, 200-year cycle. And that that out of that cycle that Torah learning reaches a certain height, and then succeeding generations after that try to tear that down. Each generation tries to outdo the other generation, in other words.
I'm not familiar with this.
Okay, what I have a problem with in conceptualizing this is that though this has taken place over a couple thousand year period, this cycle of where there's a persecution, and then after persecution, Torah learning begins again and starts to rebuild. That it seems that for the first time in the Jewish history, that we have a tremendous percentage of Jews who didn't go through persecution. The Jews in America, the Jews in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And that what I see happening in America is that, yes, on the one hand, we have the Yeshiva movement, people coming here and returning and growing in Torah. On the other hand, we have people who are going really far afield, who are assimilating terribly, and we have a very big split. We have a split between people who are going more tertiary and then more who are getting more and more assimilated. So, you know, it seems as though something's happened to that historical cycle. And I wondered whether, I was talking to this Rabbi Schatz, and he entertained the idea about that this was pre-Messianic time, and I was reading a little of your father's book, the Epic of the Mashiach, and so I was wondering if, you know, how you would explain that, if you also would see that we are breaking a historical cycle at this point, that this post-Holocaust is different than any other persecution.
Yeah, I'll tell you, that cycle, I don't understand it yet. There is the Meshech Chochmah. You know Meshech
Chochmah.
Meshech Chochmah is the Ur Sameach. It's the same Rav Meir Simcha Dvinsker. So he wrote a Sefer on Chumash. And Rambam, the Sefer is called Ur Sameach. And Chumash is commentary, not a commentary, but remarks on Chumash. is called Meshech Chochma. And Avaderi is talking about such cycles.
I think that's where maybe Rabbi Schatz read from.
Yeah, maybe. That's... And they... To say, we have to understand what is the purpose of this.
I would say to keep the Jews in check. That as when they stray too far, that would be persecution.
Right. So it is really, the purpose is survival.
Survival, right.
Mm-hmm. Now, when a person is sick, and you have to do something that you should survive. Sometimes things which are being done are not pleasant. But you hope that if you have him carry over the crisis, then it will come back to normal life. Now, for 2,000 years or 3,000 years, we are keeping Gan in the hospital and out of the hospital, in the hospital, out of the hospital. But it was lead up to some time when it will be normal people and not need a hospital anymore. How you understand? We are coming again, we are coming again to sing the day of Mashiach. Now, we are entitled to have a feeling that right now we are approaching it. There are so many things which indicate to it that we're entitled to think that way. I'll tell you one thing. I have never dreamt in my life that I'll have that schus of being in Yerushalayim. I never dreamt in my life. And Rebbe Yisrael brings so many people to Eretz Yisroel today, and so many people. Well, I'll tell you, there are all kinds of. And what I repeated once, but I'll say it again. It says in the Haftarah of Rosh Hashanah, the second day of Rosh Hashanah, it says over there, the prophet tells us about Mother Rachel, Rochel, crying for her children. You know that medrash about it. She was crying. And that's what the grave is here, yeah, the Yeruchel's grave. And then the prophet says, here is what the Lord says. Stop crying. Stop crying. There is a reward to your action. They will come back from the lands of the enemy. And there is a hope for your future. Children will come back to their boundaries. What's that repetition? He's repeating himself. He says, there is a reward to your action. They will come back from the land of the enemy. There is a hope for your future. Children will come back to their boundaries. You know what it means? Today, when we realize it, we can see what it means. The entire Zionist movement, which brought us to Eretz Yisroel, which built up that country, were not people who needed Eretz Yisroel. It was a reaction to anti-Semitism. As a matter of fact, at one congress in Basel, a Zionist organization, there was a proposal to go to Uganda. And Herzl was for it. Because the only problem, the only thing that he saw that the Jew is singled out. He figured, because he has no country. If they have a country, he'll be respected. So yes, they have a country. And he was outvoted. And you know why he was outvoted? Because they need something to appeal to the masses. Gandhi didn't appeal. Zion did appeal. You know, you know that story with that man is coming in America to a synagogue and talks to the shamans and said, I have a proposition for you. I'll offer you $1 million for this. $1 million? Says, what do you want me to do? He said, nothing. The only thing, you should train the people that whenever they all say have to say Amen, they should say Pepsi Cola instead. That's good psychology. So now Zion is the Pepsi Cola. A Yid says three times a day with Razena in Nina Bishufra Lutzim Barachamim. So it sells. That. That was the only reason. But so the prophet says, there will come a time when people will come to Eretz Yisrael just as a reaction to the enemy, for nothing else. Huh?
And they'll say, oh, that Pepsi Cola.
But those people have built up a country. They built up a country. Now they destroy it. It's so crazy now that it's. But they built up a country. So then, the Rochel is still going. They said, what kind of hope do I have for a future? They built up something. So he says, there will be a second. That's, you know, when you build a building, it comes in a crew, first the crew, and then. First come those who make the foundations, then come the electrician, then come the plumbers, then come the second crew will come already, those who are children coming to baptize. And we see today, we see that those people who came for that reaction, now they are going back. Because they're no accident. I think in America they'll feel at home. They don't know that America is full of anti-Semitism today. But in the meantime, there is a cadre that there is in America. Who comes here? Only people who want terror. Who are the people who in spite of all difficulties, fight to stay here? Now, that's the second crew coming.
I heard that there's that the attrition rate of people coming to Israel who emigrated, I think, from America, within, I don't remember how many years, but it's something like 70% go back.
It is possible. And it makes a lot of sense.
Because the ones who aren't here for Torah, you know, they see economically they're not as well off.
Right. Right? It makes a lot of sense. But now that Netanyahu is building, and under difficulties, under big difficulties, because the control is still in the hands, and you should know that the secular in Israel is more of a problem than the secular Jew in America. Because the secular Jew in America is not against religion. It has no religion. But the Israeli is against religion. And the reason why, I'll tell you why, the reason. The Israeli who came to Israel the Third World, and the Zionists, the wave of Zionist people that came, was the philosophy of solving the problem of anti-Semitism. Now there have been three branches. There is the labor Zionist, there is the liberal Zionist, and there is the revisionist. I don't know whether you're familiar with it. Jabotinsky, Menachem Begin. The liberal Zionist, or the general Zionist, and the labor Zionist, both saw the solution to the Jewish people not only lands, not only a country. It has to become a people like all nations. And the country is part of a people like all nations. Every country was a country. But we should not be different than other nations. Therefore, you don't see a goy running around the street with the tzitzis out. Right? So, not only he doesn't want to have tzitzis, it hurts him and he says, my tzitzis. Because I am standing in the way of converting the Jewish people to be like other people. Therefore, he's against me. You follow this. The labor Zionist is even worse. The labor Zionist started in Russia. And in Russia, the only place where a Jew felt like an equal was among the revolutionists. The revolution in Russia, at the end of the 19th century, at the beginning of the 20th century. Over there, the Jew was accepted like an equal. The revolution in Russia against the Tsar was led by labor. The Bible was Marx's Capital. And the Jews who came over there became fanatic Marxists because they became drunk with that equality that they felt over there. Among those Marxists, and then the Marxists, there were minimalists and maximalists. I don't know whether you're familiar with it. The socialists and the communists. And the Jews were leading in all sections. Some of them, there was the Bund in Russia and in Poland. I don't know whether you're familiar with it. They said that the same as the Ukrainians are Ukrainians, and they have equal rights in Russia. The Jews should be Jews, remain Jews, and have equal rights. What's the meaning Jews? The Jews have to be non-religious. They were the ones who were persecuting religion. The Yevsekis, you know about the Yevsekis, the Jewish section of the Communist Party. Even today you have and you can't circumcise in Russia, you know that?
By secret, they have to do it, right?
Either they have to do it by secret or they do it when they come out. I have been at many prisons for adult people, grown-up people. All kinds of things. So those people who came out from there, some people came out, some people said, we have to have a country, but a country, they are talking now about the international, you know, the communism and international movement. We are part of the international movement, but well, and the kibbutzim here. This is the, and I think the only place in the world where the communism has succeeded are the kibbutzim here in Israel. Sure.
And there's many problems now.
I don't think they have many problems. They are so rich.
What's funny, because the children more or less leave the kibbutz.
The children leave the kibbutz because of something else. Because of the lifestyle. The kibbutz is not a constant pilot in place.
I've been on the kibbutz. That people, many people find it an easy way of life. Many Americans or people who can't fight the life in the city,
yeah.
they are frightened to live in the city and they go to the kibbutz to avoid the difficulties.
Yeah, that's...
It's not a healthy system.
Right? Huh?
It's not a healthy system to build a society with this, to run away from the difficulties.
Yeah, and somebody run away from there. Yeah. But still... Still, the kolchoz in Russia are not as good as the kibbutz in here. But it will fade out here. Because when they started with a lot of idealism. And they put on a lot of sacrifice. Now it's fading out. And now they live on the labor of the tourists and... you know...
What's fading?
They don't work at all. That's why it works faster and much easier.
So they brought that philosophy from there. And I'll tell you, and there are so many things which I see which is a real conspiracy. How did you come to a kibbutz?
Same reason. I saw that living in the city is difficult, so I went to kibbutz because it's easy. You don't have to take care about the food or anything. You can look around and then make a decision and go out to the kibbutz.
No, but you fool yourself because you came over there, they made you work.
Yeah, no, I worked in with electronics.
Yeah. Electronics is better. No, I'll tell you, I have met so many people. I'll tell you, I had once. Friday night usually I have some people coming from the coastal to my house. So one Friday night, three fine boys came and with little yarmulkes in their head, which is something. Sometimes people come from the coastal, we have to make with them a brocha when they wash their hands. We have to show them to wash their hands. They shouldn't put their hands in the bowl. And so another three people, so I say, so they tell me they are tourists, and they came in a kibbutz, I see the people at Yarmulke, so they have some, said, so I assumed you may have in a kibbutz, you may have some difficulties with kosher food. He says, we have? He says, didn't you know about it? Yes, we asked the one who arranged it for us in the tourist department of the Sochnut, of the agency. They told us, yes, it's a Trefer kibbutz, but you'll be able to sustain yourself on fruits and vegetables. And now, next day, I called Lawrence. Shlomo Lawrence is the... He is the head of he's a former Yid, and he is the chairman of the finance committee of the Knesset. He's my neighbor. So I went to Shlomo Lawrence and I said, if Bochim, employees, they are Bnei Akiva, I assume, must be. So if they want to come to a kibbutz, can't the agency find for them a place where they have kosher and not have to live on vegetable? So he says, give it to me in writing. So I wrote him a letter. 2 months later, he gives me a copy of a letter which he received from the what's it, Dolchin. You know Dolchin? He's the head of the
World Zionist. World Zionist.
Yeah, the agency of him. Dolchin writes him. He says, I received your letter. I see the facts that Wasserman wrote. And it is true, it is a fact that many people who are coming to us do not want to be in a religious environment, but still they would like to eat kosher. We recommend them to eat vegetables. The whole thing is a lie. The people don't want to, it's not that they don't want to be in a religious environment. It's just the opposite. People who are coming here are looking for something Jewish. But this is a conspiracy. The agency outside arranges for them to come to those Trefi Kibbutzim, and Trefi Kibbutzim, they'll work on them. What they did to the children, what they are still doing to children today. I don't know whether you are familiar with what happened to the children. So that's a conspiracy. Because their philosophy, their basic philosophy, is to un-Jew the Jewish people. This you don't have with the secular Jew in America. Fine. Yeah.
I was in a non-religious kibbutz.
Yeah.
I went to different. I went first to non-religious, then after to religious.
Mm-hmm.
The non-religious, they kept they made blessing on the wine to microphone, and they added something special on Yom Shishi. They made a special. They sang. Short song of
What?
Yeah. What I remember.
Which word?
A short version of a song. I don't remember exactly. Too long ago. And also some Chagim they kept.
And that's
like,
also.
Yom Kippur, they went to neighboring Moshe for Bar Mitzvah. They keep in the building. School building.
Mm-hmm. No, I had some girls who came to me for Shabbos, and they told me they were in a kibbutz on Yom Kippur. They wanted to go to dance someplace. They said, here is no place. And everybody was eating. If you fast, go there. There is a few kilometers away. You can go there. There's a shul over there. They have all kinds of. So, but what's happening is exactly what I say from the prophet. The crew is changing. We see it.